of us, it would be a lot easier on me to be here with the family, particularly this morning when I had to iron my own shirt and pants. So you never appreciate those little things until you have to do it. I'm going to be reading out of Psalm 130 and out of Romans chapter 15. Back in the Middle Ages in Europe, the believers were known as the people of hope. That was the name that we were given, the people of hope. It was a tenuous time. It was a difficult time. It was almost hand-to-mouth economy. But the church provided food for people. The friars, the monks, they taught people how to plant, how to, you know, do gardens and how to fertilize and whatnot. The church provided medical help for people. The church provided education for people. The church was known, the people were known as the people of hope. And then the church taught on heaven. There was a place, a relationship that we were to look forward to. People of hope. Their trust was not in the economy. Their trust was not in politics. Their trust was in Him. And I don't know about you here in the United States. It's been 3 years since I have been back. Yesterday, when I come back, 3 years, one of the first places I go to is Lowe's or Home Depot. And it happened to be Lowe's yesterday. And so I just walked the aisles. And this one gal kept walking the aisle with me. I would walk this way. She would then come this way. Can I help you? No, I'm just looking. And then I'd come up this way. She'd come down. No, I'm just looking. She asked me about 5 times. And I think then she reported me and said that I was either the competition that was looking to see what the prices were or somebody trying to steal. But I just enjoy seeing the new things that have come out to fix the people of hope. I don't know about your situation here in the States. It's been a while since I've been back. But I know that our situation in Spain is very difficult and dire. And so that heritage that we have in Europe of being known in the past as the people of hope is a heritage that we dare not lose, because we live in an age that delights in destroying hope. Our overall unemployment in Spain today is 27%. You heard the figure of youth unemployment, people 16 to 26. The figure, when I put the video together, was 40%. It is now 57%. We are losing a generation. They are leaving. I have been to the airport. I have said goodbye to a 25-year-old. As the mother and particularly the grandparents wept, because the grandparents had left Spain in the 1950s to go to Sweden, Switzerland, Germany to send money back. And when they came back in the early 70s, grandmother and grandfather promised that they would never allow it to happen again, to have to send one of their families away. We are in a hopeless situation. That translates into $8 a gallon for gasoline. So when I spill a little bit of gas here in the States, I do it because it's so cheap. We're the people of hope. Our political leaders are indecisive. Our security is threatened. Our future is uncertain. And as believers, if we're not careful, hope is slowly replaced by disappointment, resignation, cynicism, bitterness. It's not a good picture in Europe today. And Spain is one of the ones that is the most bleak. Hope can dwindle. Claudia is a little Chilean girl in our second church plant. She was rooming with Maria. Maria came to the church, but Claudia would always stay outside. She would never enter. And so I asked Maria about it, and I said, you know, what's the deal? And she says, well, you know, she had a really tough time, and she doesn't want to come to church. She accompanies me. So we began to pray together for Claudia, and her story then began to be made evident. She came from an alcoholic family. Her father was an alcoholic. He would beat the mother, and then he would go after the children. And she, being a Catholic, would go to church every day, and she would ask God to change her father and to protect her mother. And that didn't happen. And so Claudia's hope dwindled. Come one Sunday, that second church plant was up to about 100 people, and we had a center aisle, and front door is there. I get up ready to preach, and here's Claudia. She comes in the door. She stomps down the front. My deacons jump up thinking she's going to kill him. And she says in an audible voice, I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to you now. Well, what do? Do you preach to the 100, or do you seek the lost sheep? So I told my co-pastor, I said, you know, it's your turn. Oh, I don't have anything to say. Well, just invent it, whatever you need to do. And we talked, and she said, last night I had a dream. And I dreamed that God gave me a white robe. What does that mean? And immediately, Revelation 7, where there's a group of people around the throne, and they're clothed in white robes. And the passage says that they came out of the great tribulation. Claudia, you have had a great tribulation. And it says that they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they were made white. And this is the Lord giving you, telling you that he wants to give you a chance to clean your heart from the bitterness, from the hopelessness. Make a long story short, she accepted the Lord that day. A few weeks later, was able then to forgive her father. And I don't know how, I don't know if it was a dream or how, she came one day and she says, you know, I realize now that God has always been protecting me. My father stormed in one day and looking for me to hit me. And I was right there. And it was as if he was blind. He could not see me. And that happened time after time after time. So hope was rekindled in that sweetheart. Hope can be lost. I went to Spain as a 23-year-old, know-it-all, young buck missionary. I was a missionary kid. I was born in Cuba. I was raised in Panama. Spanish is my first language. What are you going to teach me about missions? So one of my first responsibilities as a young missionary was to accompany Bill Miller, an older missionary, to do prison visitation. Now, what do I want to visit prison for? They deserve it. They don't deserve being visited. But Bill Miller, very gentle. He came from the Friends Church, nonviolent. You know, I'm wanting to kill them all. Just come on, son, come with me. And we would visit a fellow by the name of John. Now, John was in prison because he'd been a drug dealer. He was from England. Well, he doesn't deserve us visiting him. He deserves what he gets. Come with me. So we'd visit John. Now, John had a tendency to depression. So come summer, Bill Miller says, I've got to be away 2 weeks. Would you visit the prisoners? Yeah, I'll visit them. And I didn't. 2 weeks later, Bill Miller and I went again to the prison. Where's John? Oh, prison official said, you didn't visit him these 2 weeks. And last week he got depressed and hung himself. Hope can be lost. So let me just stop right here and say, you may be here today, and on the outside, everything's okay, but you may have experienced the hope lost. Someone let you down. Your dream never came true. The desire of your heart was dashed. Or, like me, you may be the reason someone lost hope. And you've been carrying that weight and that burden for a long time. So here's the good news. Hope can be rekindled. Forgiveness can unburden. And forgiveness can empower. Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you're feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. There's three steps to rekindling hope. The first, as it says here, is to look to Jesus. You know, I come back and I don't... You know, our hope is not in a better economy, guys. I dare say it's not going to, we're going to limp along for years. Our hope is not in politics. Whether we like what there is or we don't like what there is, we as a believing church are called to something else. And I'm getting Spanish excited here. We are called to look to him because that is where our hope is. The liberals were in power in Spain. A year ago, we brought the conservatives in. They said they were not going to do this, but they were going to do that. You guessed it. They did this and didn't do that. That's not going to rekindle hope. But I'll tell you one thing about Spain. We have had the legs knocked out from under us. We have lines, 60 families, every Tuesday, getting food from the church. It would be as if here in Moreland, all the neighbors are looking, and other neighbors who are now out of work, everybody's out of work in the family, they're standing in the dole line, and we're handing the food out. Guys, it is not fun. It's tough. And yet, we're seeing more people come to the Lord than in 33 years of ministry. We have had the legs knocked out from under us. And he is it. He's all we have. We are called the people of hope. Marie started a Bible study with the ladies from the PTA. One of them came and said, I just want you to know that I'm an agnostic. Well, why are you here? The reason she was there was because the other lady said, you need to come to this Bible study. We go away charged. We're seeing things happen. We're praying and we're seeing things happen. This lady came, her name is Chris. She comes because she has a family business. She, her brother. They're tool makers. Their business is crashing and burning. She has two little girls, 12 and 10. Husband's out of work. She begins to come. And as an agnostic, begins to ask God to have mercy. Their business begins to pick up. It picks up such that her brother, who has been laughing at her for the 3 months that she's been going to the Bible study, he begins to say to me, "Can I come to church with you?" And the first time I said no. Why would you want to come to church with us? You've been laughing at us for years. You've been laughing at your sister now for three months. Why do you want to go to church? Well, because I'd like to. Okay, well, then I'll pick you up and we'll go. He hadn't made the step yet. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that our hope can be rekindled, but we have to be looking at the right source. And Psalm 130 says it is Him. It's Jesus. Romans 15 then gives us step 2 and step 3. Romans 15, verse 4. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through," here it is, "endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." Through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture. Second step, the encouragement of Scripture, a word from God. In 2005, there's literature there on the back table, and there's one little piece of literature that talks about the camp that we started in 2005, Campa CTC, the camp for missionary kids, Latin American missionary kids who are living in Spain, living in Europe, living in Africa. That camp starts because two families come to us who have lost hope. A Colombian missionary family and a Brazilian missionary family came and said, "You're a missionary kid. We have lost our teens. They are bitter. They don't fit in Spain. They don't want to know anything about us. They're mad at us as parents, and they hate God." I began to weep. I can still see them. Can you do anything? And so we, Maria and I, went to the Lord. I know what that's like. As a missionary kid, when we moved to the United States, I became an atheist. I did not fit in. I was mad at my parents. I hated God. He took everything that I loved away. So I knew what they were talking about. We then asked the Lord to give us a word. The word that He gave us was, in these times, He would turn the hearts of the children towards their parents. In other words, if you build it, I'll come. So we developed a camp ministry. Helen today is a 25-year-old bucking the trend. She's an entrepreneur. She started her own business, doing very well. At 18, she came to the camp forced by her parents. So that Thursday afternoon when she arrives at camp, you know what it looks like. It is the stiffness. "I don't want to be here." So I came up to her and I said, "Are you okay?" "No, I'm not okay. I don't want to be here. My parents forced me to come." I said, "Yeah, I know. They talked to me." I said, "Give me a day. If tomorrow by this time you still don't want to be here, I will take you personally to the bus and off you go back to the house. Just give me a day." The next morning, the first day, I teach on what we call the profile. What it means to be a missionary kid, a TCK, a third culture kid. Chico de tercera cultura, we would say in Spanish. In the small group, then, the leader later came to me and she said, Helen asked me if you had talked to her mom. Because you nailed her. She said, everything he said, that's the way I am. And then the small group leader says, well, guess what? That's the way we all are here. One guy came to camp, he was complaining, oh, you don't know my life, I'm just, you know, horrible, blah, 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 blah. And then the counselor said, well, welcome. You see those 100 kids there? They're all as messed up as you, so welcome. You're just one of us. As then Helen stayed, she began to again open her heart to the possibility that God could heal her broken heart. And at the end of the 5 days, she came back to him. You build it. I'll come. The third step is to endure. In other words, to decide to go forward. You look to the Lord. You seek a word from him. And then a decision is made to go forward. Since we have seen each other, I think the last time I was here, I think I was saying to Tom, it was like 2007. So what, that's 6 years ago? In the last 6 years, we have been, Marie and I have been transitioning from being a church planting pastor to now a co-pastor to a young church planting pastor. And becoming now pastor to pastors and pastor to missionaries. Again, another piece of literature. Operation Barnabas. Operation Barnabas, as the camp, is ministry where we pay everything. The kids that come, we pay their way. The pastors that come to the weekend retreat, we pay their way. 4-star hotel on the Mediterranean coast. 30 yards off the sea. Beautiful castle over here. That has been a ministry that has begun to rekindle hope in pastors and in missionaries. The year, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years before, but we had a Spanish pastor, 15 years in a pastorate. And at the end, on Sunday morning after breakfast, he came up to me and he said, okay, just you and me. What do you want? And I was shocked. What do you mean? What do I want? He said, I've been in the pastorate 15 years. No one has ever given me anything without wanting something in return. There are always strings attached. Hard cynicism. He blew me out of the water. But just like that, the Lord. And so I said, you're right. I do want something. And his eyes got really kind of squinty. He said, I knew it. He says, yeah. I want you to go back to your church, rested, renewed, and encouraged. I want you to go back to your marriage, loving your wife more than you've ever loved her before. I want you to go back to your kids, being more patient than you have ever been in the last 15 years. I want you to go back to your pueblo and understand that we can reach this country for Jesus Christ. I want you to go back and be the most sterling pastor that you have ever been. I didn't shout that way. But I do get excited. And he began to weep. He just grabbed on, you know, like a little baby grabs onto you. He just hung on my neck and wept. Wept. No one has ever given me anything without wanting their cut. hope can be rekindled. If you don't believe that, then we need to pray together. Because I know one who does it. Over time and time again. I want to conclude by saying, first of all, that we continue to need your support, your friendship, support in prayer, support in finances. And I represent other missionaries. Don't think that because we're not able to be here that we don't think about you. In Spain today, there's a big, big growing market for organic food. I've thought about Tom and Don. So we do think about you. It is not the fact that we're out of sight, that we're out of heart. So we continue to need you to renew hope in those that are weak, to spur the church in Spain, to be the people of hope in this difficult, difficult economic time. You and I have a wonderful message. Isaiah 40. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary. He gives strength to the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's our message. We are the people of hope. And I want to pray for you. And so I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray over you. Because as I perceive in these 2 weeks that I've been here in the States, you are not as in a dire economic situation as we are. I hope you don't reach it either. But you're not in a good situation either. And as the people of hope, you will have a tendency to think that the solution lies somewhere else. And if that doesn't then happen, the evil one can bring complacency or even take you to bitterness. So let me pray for you that the Lord would show himself faithful, that he would shine his face upon you, and that he would protect you from the evil one's ways. Lord, we come. We are the people of hope because we know you. And maybe it means that we need in this week to realign our thought processes and to stop bickering and complaining about the political system or the economy and begin to seek you, to worship you, to praise you in all circumstances. So maybe it means for my brothers and sisters a realignment. Maybe it means, Lord, that you need to act in their hearts to bring a word to their heart to rekindle a hope that's been lost, a dream that's been smashed. Or Holy Spirit, maybe it means that you need to come and tenderly again bring forgiveness to someone who has seen that they have been the reason others have lost hope. Whatever the need, we commend ourselves to you. It is you whom we adore. It is you whom we follow. It is you who we want to have as a last name, Son of Jehovah. So I pray for my brothers and sisters that this would be a week when they would be known as the people of hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share. Anything?